So we're back at the Cotswold Motor Group HQ in Hereford, and today I'm with Tom Smith as we continue our exploration about the change in the motor vehicle world and how electric is becoming very much the done thing. Now, there are many, many questions that many people have about electric vehicles and whether or not, you know, it's going to be a better future. So, Tom, you're going to have the answer to my questions, I really hope.
I hope so too.
Yeah. Let's talk about the fact that your phone rang. Let's talk about the fact that electric means charging means, and the first thing people say is, what happens if I can't get to a charging point? What's the kind of range that a good battery on a car is going to have these days?
So across the range, minimum range is advertised around the 260-ish all the way up to pushing 400.
That's miles, not kilometres.
Absolutely, miles. So generally under that sort of distance, you're probably going to look to go for a coffee, pull over at a service station. So the range is a lot better than what people realise, and a lot easier to charge than what they realise.
And when you do charge, I mean, I haven't got an electric car. It's not happened to me yet. Not on my wages. So when you do put that charging port in, which we did actually on the last podcast,
yep,
you can sit there and you can be waiting for half an hour, go and have a coffee, and that will give you a damn good range, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually came back yesterday from Guildford, so I was at the Top Gear track, and I do drive electric myself, and that's not a plug. Charged it once on the way down there, 20 minutes, put roughly 30 to 40 miles range back into the car. It's enough time to pit stop, cup of coffee, finish my journey there and back.
Now, with fuel, be it diesel, be it petrol, there's a cost every time you fill the tank in. Electric, people are going to immediately think, oh, that's going to be much, much cheaper. Is it?
Depends on where you charge it. So from home, an average kilowatt, this is a UK stat, by the way, is around about 38 pence per kilowatt, roughly, versus the fuel pricing a couple of months ago. When you measure pence per mile, you've got roughly 3 miles of electric to 1 mile of petrol/diesel. So from a home charging point of view, it was and it is still definitively cheaper, yet the pricing's got closer. Publicly, depends where you charge it, of course. They are roughly neck and neck.
Will the price start to come down as more and more people adopt and transfer across?
The cars themselves?
The cost of electric?
Don't know. I'd love to answer that one for you with conviction. I'm not trying to be a politician right now, but I'm going to sit on the fence. At the moment, the home charging hasn't really changed. Publicly hasn't changed that much. Of course, my gut will be it will probably go up a little bit. But of course, we have seen petrol and diesel prices fluctuate horrifically, to be honest with you. It's a little bit easier to judge with electric what you're actually being charged for.
Yeah. Now, the batteries that are in these cars are is it lithium?
Lithium ion.
Yeah, right. Lithium ion, right. So every battery, and if you remember as a kid, or when I was a kid, they brought in rechargeable batteries, and there'd be a certain lifespan of the number of times you could recharge them. Now, how is that going to work with a car?
So you're right, they do have a lifespan. The best example I can give everybody is the BMW i3, which we no longer sell. That car came out in 2013. The original battery warranty was 8 years. Now, those cars we've still been selling as second-hand cars as recently as up to a year, and we are re-warrantying them. So I wouldn't have any worries about the actual batteries themselves. They have a long warranty on them in the first place. Then a lot of people's question is about the end cycle, when eventually that car does come off the road, irrelevant if there's a battery problem. I think people think that the batteries go to somewhere nasty, they go in the skip. They don't, they actually get used as storage devices. So they're energy storage devices. So they'll go to solar farms and wind farms, for example, and they'll get used as capacity. So when these cars do eventually come off the road, as long as there's no damage to the battery, they are completely sustainable. They are used for other things.
And changing a battery that's died or is faulty, I take it, is fairly easy.
To the best of my knowledge, yes, I'd ask you to speak to the technicians downstairs, but yes, it's not a particularly difficult thing. It's quite time-consuming, but the batteries can be replaced if they need to be.
And what happens if your car breaks down versus a petrol engine? I take it you bring it back to the dealership, which would be here.
Absolutely. You'd use your recovery services. The one difference with an electric vehicle, it cannot be towed.
Really?
No. So it does need to go on a flatbed, low load, or whatever you'd like to call that, which, to be fair, most premium breakdown cover is that nowadays. But you couldn't tow it. That would be the main difference.
And a really weird question that's come in is, in the rain, can you drive and charge in the rain? Now, why anybody would ask that question, I don't know, but
Was this a question from my mum?
Yeah.
No, absolutely fine. Electric cars are completely normal, whether it's rain, whether you want to put it through a car wash, whether you want to charge it in a snowstorm. Please just treat them as a motor vehicle. They just happen to be powered by electric.
And you're not going to get electrocuted either, are you? Because it's got a battery in it.
Absolutely not. Your mobile phone has a battery. And I see plenty of people walking up and down the street in the rain on their phone. Absolutely fine. Please don't worry about it.
Okay. And what about the secondhand market? Because there will be more and more now becoming available. It's a growing market, isn't it? And it's good buyers, a secondhand car as well as a first-hand car?
Yeah, absolutely. When we get them secondhand, they often don't hit the forecourt in terms of being available. There's a massive demand for new and used. Of course, they are a little bit cheaper when they're an approved used car, and they still have that massive battery warranty I've alluded to earlier. So that then demand is both new and used cars. Going forward, as we see more areas which are restricted to emissions, more people are potentially going to have an electric vehicle, and of course the desirability of them is getting more and more apparent. I'd openly encourage anybody to come and drive one, because when you drive one, you'll realize how good they are to drive.
And as far as the cost of buying a car, be it first hand or second hand, it's still going to work out in the long term more cost effective thing to do. Yeah,
as a rule of thumb, yes, because your pence per mile generally is cheaper. I would also try and ensure people understand that more people will be almost forced to go electric in the future with the rules coming up in 2030, 2035. It keeps changing slightly. They will be more and more desired to you buying one right now. That car will be probably more desirable again in 3 years' time, because more people will almost have to have one. So personally, as a user of electric, if I didn't work it, I'd still want to buy an electric car going forward.
There you are. There's the word on the street. Well, actually, the word from Cotswold Motor Group and Tom Smith. Thank you for your time, by the way.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
The great thing about radio is you can't tell and you can't see that he looks a bit like Joel Dommer, and he hates people saying that.
Thank you.
All right. That's another Sunshine Radio podcast.